A very good evening to each and every one of you. Even as we come to this service, let's now prepare our hearts to listen and to hear from His Word. Let us pray. We welcome you, Spirit of Truth. Lead us to your everlasting path. For we ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I be blunt with you for a moment? Why are you here tonight for Ash Wednesday service? I know why I'm here, because I got scheduled or cannot to share this devotion. But why are you here? Lent service, Ash Wednesday service, usually attracts a small group of people. So what brings you here? Have you ever paused to ask yourself that question? Is it because you're on duty? Or because it's of a habit? Because you're curious, you've got nothing to do? Or are you seeking for something more than a routine Lent? Ash Wednesday marks the threshold of Lent, a season not of festivities and merrymaking, but of introspection and sacrifice. It is a period where we embark on a spiritual journey like spring cleaning for the soul. In fact, the word Lent is derived from the Old English word Lenten, which means spring. We have just, for us who are Chinese, celebrated Chinese New Year. And many of you would have done some spring cleaning to ready and to refresh your homes. In fact, spring cleaning is a tradition that has been practiced in many cultures. As the weather warms up, the flowers bloom, people are naturally inclined to refresh their surrounding. Spring cleaning provides an opportunity to shake off the winter blues and welcome a new season. And just as we scrub out the grime of winter from our home, Lent beckons us to confront the clutter within our hearts. You see, Lent isn't about superficial changes or a temporary makeover. It is about diving into the wilderness of our soul. Just like Jesus spending 40 days fasting in the wilderness. The wilderness is not our usual place. It is wild, unpredictable, and downright uncomfortable. But it is where we can face some untamed aspect of our being and emerge transformed like Jesus. So, why are you here tonight? What draws you here to Glory Sanctuary? What longing stirs within you as we embark on this land? Like Jesus' question to John's disciple, what are you seeking? Let's explore together what Lent can truly be. A time for heart transformation, using our text from the book of Joel. First, a preview, and then I will unpack it for you. Heart transformation starts with an honest dialogue with God. Heart transformation includes physical expression aimed at the heart. And heart transformation is about God's abounding, extravagant, and unfailing love of God. Firstly, heart transformation starts with an honest dialogue with God. The book of Joel have only 3 chapters. It is a prophetic book describing a locust plague, which is a metaphor for a coming army that will bring destruction as part of God's judgment. Some commentators liken it as a deathbed dialogue that God had with his people Israel. And like any deathbed dialogue, the first 2 chapters of Joel is solemn, serious, and had a sense of urgency. God urged for immediate action, to repent, to turn back to him, and to seek his mercy to avert further catastrophe. And so, in Joel 2:12, we can see this sense of urgency. Yet, even now. This isn't merely a command. It is a desperate invitation to a life-altering conversation. God is saying, let's get real with the things that really matter. This judgment is about your continued disobedience and sin. Yet, even now, return to me with all your heart. Return to me invites a response. Returning to God demands more than mere lip service. It requires a wholehearted response. It demands honesty, vulnerability, and sincerity. The kind of authenticity that leaves no room for half-heartedness or deceit. It urges us to strip away the facades and the pretense and the pretenses, to confront the truth of our hearts. It is an invitation to embark on a journey of spiritual spring cleaning and to surrender our hearts fully. Consider the example of King David in the familiar Psalms 51 passage. Just now, Janelle read some part of Psalm 51 for us, and we even sang a song about Psalm 51. The brokenness that King David experienced, the contrition, the raw honesty in the aftermath of his grievous sin of adultery and murder, David poured out his heart before God, laying bare his guilt and shame. It wasn't easy. Denial. There was the cover-up initially. It was only when Nathan the prophet confronted David that David found the courage to be honest. An honesty that paved the way for forgiveness, purification, and restoration. Today, we may not be in a deathbed situation like the people of Judah, nor have we committed the grievous sins of King David. But yet, like the people of Judah and King David, we too may find ourselves grappling with barriers to honest communication with God. And what can some of these barriers be? It can be the fear of judgment. People might fear that if they express their true feelings or thoughts, God will judge them harshly. It may be guilt and shame. Some past actions or perceived inadequacy may make us feel facing this may make us fear facing these emotions of guilt and shame or admitting our mistakes. It may be unworthiness. Some of us may struggle with feelings of unworthiness, believing that we are not deserving of God's attention or understanding. Or it can be anger and resentment. Some of us may harbor feelings of anger and resentment towards God due to personal struggles, tragedies, or even unanswered prayer. And it can be challenging to have an honest conversation with God when we have these emotions. Then there can be self-defense mechanisms. Self-defense mechanisms are unconscious strategies we use to protect ourselves from personal stress, personal anxiety, or emotional discomfort. And if we go back to Psalms 51, to the example of King David, King David used a combination of this defense mechanism to conceal his action and to avoid facing the truth. It includes rationalization, justifying his thoughts, feelings, and action. I'm the king, I can do what I want. It includes denial, downplaying the issues of his sin. It is not so serious. And suppression, out of sight, out of mind. Until Nathan the prophet skillfully confronted him by projecting David's action onto a fictional scenario, provoking a sense of justice and morality in him before identifying that David was the guilty man. And so, the journey of transformation begins with overcoming these barriers, breaking down the walls that separate us from God's grace. It's a journey of returning to an honest dialogue with God. Then secondly, heart transformation includes physical, external expression aimed at the heart. Transformation encompasses both external practices and internal heartfelt sincerity. In Joel 2:12-13, God implored his people to return with all their heart, accompanied by fasting, weeping, and mourning. This physical expression of repentance are crucial, but the emphasis is on rendering the heart, not merely the garments. The people of old then tore or rent their clothes when they mourn. Jesus puts it this way: beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. And if you read Matthew chapter 6 further, Jesus went on to say that whenever you give alms or when you do good, whenever you pray, whenever you fast, do it secretly, not to be seen by others. During Lent, we often engage in acts of self-denial, prayer, and reflection. While these external practices are valuable, they are not the ultimate goal. They serve as a starting point, a means to cultivate a sincere desire for heart transformation, rather than just something public and ritualized. Richard Foster, a guru in self-discipline, in spiritual discipline, beautifully illustrates this concept by likening spiritual disciplines to a farmer preparing the ground for growth. Just as a farmer provides the right condition for grain to grow, we engage in spiritual discipline to sow seeds of transformation in our hearts. So, let us use spiritual and external disciplines as tools to nurture the soul of our hearts and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring forth the fruits of heart transformation. Then, heart transformation is all about God's abounding, extravagant, and unfailing love. Consider for a moment the type of person with whom it will be easiest to have an honest conversation. What would your list look like? I bet you will probably list a person who is open, empathetic, non-judgmental, understanding, supportive, respectful, approachable, and probably a good listener. Here is God's in Joel chapter 2:13. Gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Message Bible puts it this way: the most patient God, extravagant in love, always ready to cancel catastrophe. In short, a God who welcomes us with open arms, regardless of our flaws and failures. Here is a lover God who judges and yet is non-judgmental. He has the authority to pass judgment, to evaluate actions, behaviors, and choices made by the individual, just as we read in the book of Joel, but does so with an overarching sense of love, compassion, and understanding. In fact, throughout the Bible, God's love is depicted through various metaphors, like the loving Abba Father, like the prodigal father, not the prodigal son, but the prodigal father who did the most outrageous thing to welcome the son back, including running to him when it is not something someone would do at that time. Or the good shepherd, the good caring shepherd, the compassionate mother who will not forget the children. Natural mother may forget the children, but God says, I will not forget my children. Or the devoted lover God, like what we read in the book of Hosea. Each metaphor underscores the depth and the breadth of God's love for us. My brothers and sisters, this is the God we encounter in Lent. Coincidentally, today is also Valentine's Day, where love is in the air. And if I can be cheeky, your Valentine is calling. Lent is a season of returning to this radical, crazy hospitality of God. Sounds familiar, right? Because our theme this year is the hospitality, the radical hospitality of God. However, Lent doesn't stop at receiving God's love. Lent is often associated with doing charity and justice. We receive love to give love. But it starts and is sustained with this knowledge and experience of His love. So return to this radical hospitality of God's love. And before I conclude, let me offer you some practical suggestion how we can enter into this Lenten season. Firstly, plan additional space and time with God. Can I check how many of you have a regular quiet time or a regular reading program, Bible reading program? Okay, some of you, all right? If you are not already on a regular reading plan or a quiet time, I encourage you to get on to one. All right, okay. If you're already on one, I want to recommend that during Lent, you just reallocated additional time for increased moments of connection and communion with God. And you can give up some of your favorite love entertainment programs, your social media, or even eating at a restaurant to set aside time for prayer, reflection, or spiritual reading. And you can even incorporate this Lenten devotion all right, as an extra reading during this season. Ever-changing world, never-changing word. There's some extra copy down at the back there. If you want, you can get it, right? Okay, but you can also download it digitally and pay a small fee for it. You know, when I go shopping, I'm very focused. I have a list of things that I want to buy. I quickly go in and I come out. When my wife goes shopping, all right, she really likes to take her time. She likes to browse around, enjoy herself, as though searching for some treasures or good bargains or something interesting. This additional time that we are having with God, follow my wife's example, not my example, all right? Take your time, browse, and enjoy God. So plan additional space and time with God. Then secondly, engage in dialogue with God. During this extended time of prayer and reflection, you may want to identify or name areas in your life where you long for a deeper experience of God's love. This can be a decision that you may be facing right at this moment, a challenging relationship or unresolved feelings of bitterness or resentment, or any life event that you are currently experiencing now. You may also want to ask God to search and to know you and to show you what are some barriers to a deeper dialogue with Him. This year, we are bringing the prayer journey back again, all right? And it will start on March the 12th in Shalom Hall until Easter Sunday. And you may want to consider using that as a space to also dialogue with God. Then, start journaling. How many of you are into journaling? Any one of you? Okay, some of you are, all right? Consider starting a journal to document your spiritual journey through Lent. Journaling can help facilitate self-awareness, clarity, and spiritual growth. Write down your thoughts, feelings, prayers, and reflection. And it doesn't have to be elaborate. Just jot down the key points or the key verse. Record the high and lows of your day. All this can be incredibly helpful. And nowadays, we even have digital journal. All right, okay, then can help you along and can offer you suggestions what you can write in your journal. Recently, I updated my iPhone and a journal appeared. All right, okay, they have started a journal. And yeah, all these things are available. Start journaling during Lent. And then review regularly. Set aside time each week to review and to reflect your journal entries. And use this time to discern patterns, track your progress, gain insights into what the Lord may be doing in your life. What I like to do is that at the end of the week, I like to take out a piece of paper, write down all my journal entries onto one big piece of paper. And to just review it, reflect over it, think about it, and then try to summarize it, either graphically or into a few statements, all right? So in that way, I try to capture what the Lord may be sharing or what the Lord may be saying to me during the week. If all this is overwhelming for you, please come and talk to some of us, okay? The zone pastors are around, and we are happy to help you. The pastors are also around here. We are happy to help you and offer some suggestions how you can enter into Lent better. So as I conclude, let me return to the question I asked at the beginning. Why are you here today? What are your longings for land? Are you seeking to remove barriers to have an honest dialogue with God? Are you seeking a deeper transformation of the heart, using existing or new spiritual practices to create more space to commune with God? Are you seeking more of the relentless, unwavering love of our Creator, a love that knows no bounds and no conditions? Whatever our longings, however small or strong, let's draw near and open ourselves to God. At this moment, I'm going to invite the music team to come up. And I'd like to share with you this prayer. And you may want to consider to use this as we draw near to God during Lent. Let me read out this prayer for you. Oh God, let something essential happen to me, something more interesting or entertaining or thoughtful. Oh God, let something essential happen to me, something awesome, something real. Speak to my condition, Lord, and change me somewhere inside where it matters. Oh Lord, let something essential happen to me.